We hear from 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Your fellow redeemed in Christ, the Christian church has not been given the option by God to determine on her own what is and what is not sin. God shows us sin through his law. He shows us our own sin. He does this so that we learn to live in daily contrition and faith, confessing our sin and receiving the absolution of that sin. He does this so that we may face our lives of struggle and the end of our lives with confidence that is given due to God's truth and not whatever truth we discover on our own. King David, after his coveting, his adultery, his murdering, had deceived himself into thinking he was without sin. The prophet Nathan had the unenviable task of telling this popular, powerful king his sin. You are the man with everything who took from him who had little, the one who killed without mercy. David had been filled with his own deception, but the law of God brought him to confess his sin, and he was forgiven. Would it have been okay for Nathan to go to David and be welcoming and non-judgmental? Would that have helped David? Should Nathan have gone to David and simply affirm him in his life? How could Nathan do that and remain a faithful prophet of God? How could Nathan do that and allow David to remain in his self-deceived mind without truth and without forgiveness? When the Apostle John teaches us about sin, about deception, about confession of sin and forgiveness, he is teaching us what we need to hear, to believe, to do. And why is that? Well, because this is the way of the repentant sinner, the one who believes that Christ Jesus receives sinners, that Jesus came into this world to save sinners, that he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, and that it is not the healthy who need the physician, but the sick. We learn in the Catechism that confession consists of two parts, one that we confess our sins, and the other that we receive absolution or forgiveness from the pastor or confessor as from God himself, and in no way doubt but firmly believe that our sins are thereby forgiven before God in heaven. We're also taught to examine our lives, a self-assessment based on God's law, so that we do not deceive ourselves about our sin, but confess them honestly. We're told that here you consider your own situation according to the Ten Commandments, whether you are a father, mother, son, daughter, employer, employee, whether you've been disobedient, dishonest, lazy, whether you've injured anyone by word or deed, whether you've stolen, neglected, wasted anything, or done any harm. One of the main struggles of the Christian life is the fact that we do not fully realize the extent to which sin, original sin, has a grip on us. As the Lutheran Church confesses in the small called articles, this hereditary sin is so deep a corruption of nature that reason cannot understand it. It must be believed because of the revelation of scriptures. Notice it must be believed just how corrupted our human nature is by sin. We cannot take for granted that we'll be able to determine how little or how much we've sinned apart from God's word. We can, without God's word, know something about sin, but the depth of our depravity, how we hurt and how we fail to help others, how our lives are filled with all sorts of idolatry, this is something God shows us as we look in the perfect mirror of his law. The conclusion is, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In verse 10, right after our text, John makes it even stronger. If we say we have no sin, we call God a liar. The confession of our sin is not a psychological lift that we receive, as if getting something off my chest is in and of itself spiritually beneficial. The spiritual benefit is not due to our activity, but to the word received upon confessing our sin. The absolution, the word Jesus spoke to the paralyzed man in Matthew 9, "Your sin is forgiven." That is the true and powerful word of God spoken to you, a word that gives what it says right then and there. Forgiven and cleansed, not in some yet-to-be-determined future, but now, present tense. God forgives you through the blessed work of our Redeemer, Christ Jesus, the one who died with your sin, who shed his blood to pay the price for your sin, so that we might live in him here and hereafter. The Christian Church brings to sinners the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. That is the reason for the church. This means we believe the divine truth that we are sinners who need saving. And this means that we believe the divine truth. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the grace of God, you leave today forgiven, cleansed, righteous, not unrighteous. For that is God's word to sinners, to you and me. Thanks be to God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.